Anyone who knows?
All right, hey, before you get started, let's pray for JD.
Lord, we pray that you would give JD your words and that he would rightly teach your scriptures, and that we might learn from them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Go for it, buddy.
Oh, good morning. I'm excited to bring the word to you guys today. Scripture is God's word to us. It is where we find what is real about the world, what is real about God, and then what is real about us in light of that. It's the place where God speaks to us. So as we jump into it, let's just begin in some prayer and really distill our own hearts and get ourselves in a position to receive his word. A lot of times, like when I'm doing my morning devotions, I'll just be so distracted. My mind will be so many different places. And what I really want is just to be an open slate, an open person ready to receive what God has. So let's just take a moment to place ourselves before God. Jesus, this morning we just recognize that we need your word, that we need your truth. It's our sustenance. It's our strength. It's our daily bread that you've given to us. So Lord, we just pray that you would open our hearts and minds to hear from you today. There's nothing better than hearing you and communing with you and being with you. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come and that you would just be with us in this moment as we learn from your word. Amen. Well, we're back into our journey in the book of Luke. We started out this journey because we want to see who Jesus is. We want to look at his life. In the book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus is the exact imprint of God's nature, that he is the very radiance of God. And if that's who Jesus is, I really want to pay attention to who Jesus was and what he did. And he's the one I say I'm following. So I want to take notes as to the way in which he lived his life and how he taught. We started out seeing Jesus in chapter 2 of Luke. At a very young age, he was already amazing the religious leaders of the time in the temple. They were astounded at his teaching and the discussion they had with him. Then later, Jesus in chapter 3, he was baptized, and that's where God just claims him as his son. God says, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." After that, he is driven out into the wilderness. And in this time of this wilderness experience, Jesus encounters just a testing of his identity, of who he is. He's tested by Satan. And after that, he comes out and starts his ministry, a ministry that is marked by a teaching on the kingdom of God. And we see him healing and casting out demons. He heals the mother of a friend. He cleanses a leper, the leper who is a reject of society, someone who people stayed away from. He healed him, made him whole. And not only healed him physically, but in that healing, he was brought back into the community, brought back into the people of his society. And then Jesus, at Jesus' command, a paralyzed man starts walking. And not only is Jesus doing incredible miracles, these radical things that no one has seen before, he's also starting to teach radical things. Last week, we saw him flip the religious system of the time on its head. The The Pharisees at the time were so focused on the rules, walking down the line, trying to stay on the path, they completely missed the heart of what they were doing. They said that we have to keep the Sabbath, and there's a list of rules that you couldn't do this or that on the Sabbath. But Jesus, he reoriented and shifted the perspective and said that the Sabbath is about relationship. And it's about relationship with God and with each other. And that's what he was inviting people into. So we see him doing radical things and then also kind of switching up the way people thought. And today we're going to encounter the same thing. Jesus doing more radical things, and also he's going to lay out for us the principles of the kingdom of God, what it looks like to be a part of the kingdom of God, and who is a part of the kingdom of God, and in that we may be messed with a little bit. Are you guys willing to be messed with by Jesus' ideas?
Sure.
Yeah? I hope so, because Yeah, so let's start out. Verse 12 in chapter 6. Chapter 6 is on page 729 in your black Bibles there. And so here we go. Verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. And he spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him. And chose 12 of them, whom he also designated as apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, a great number of people from all the coast of Judah, from all over Judah, from Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power came out of him, was coming out of him, and healing them all. This is a scene of Jesus. This is a big moment where he goes to call those out of his disciples. There's already a group of people following him. You'd expect that after he's been healing so many people and doing incredible things. People are going to start following this guy, right? They're going to come out and see what is going on. And then he decides to select out of those people that are following him some disciples. And then he walks down the mountain, and there's a great multitude of people there. His disciples and people from all over the region. I was teaching the Bible study for the youth group on Wednesday, and we were talking about the same thing. And I was thinking, it's kind of like if somebody, I get this illustration, if somebody at their school, all of a sudden their friend that has been in a wheelchair all the time, they look out the window and they see him walking by. He's just up walking by. What are they going to do? They're probably going to get up and leave the classroom and go check it out. And if they see all the people that have been sick at their school walking around healed, the whole school is going to come out and check out what is happening. So this is what has happened. And Jesus now is, he selected his main disciples, the apostles. And this is the first time we see Jesus explicitly teaching about what the kingdom of God looks like. So in verse 20, it says this. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Blessed are you who are poor. Did you wake up this morning and think, man, if only I was more poor? If only I did not have as much as I do? And it's kind of twisted. Like really, Jesus? In our culture, we focus so much on our value based upon how much we have. When we have a bigger paycheck, normally we feel better about ourselves, right? I know I do. Like, yes, I've done a good job. But I think Jesus is talking about something a little different than just material wealth. Jesus here is setting the bar really low for those who are able to enter the kingdom of God. You see, the Pharisees at the time had a list of rules. They had a checklist. If you do this, if you do this, if you are this type of person, that qualifies you. You can get in. But Jesus, he said, you know, you don't have to have it all together to be a part of my kingdom. How many of you guys have it all together? You know? Jesus, he said, everyone is welcome into my kingdom. The weak, those that are marginalized in society, those that don't have it all together, you're welcome. You're welcome to be a part of it. Just look at his disciples, the people that he chose. He decided that he wanted some fishermen to be a part of his group. He got a tax collector to join him. Tax collectors were usually not liked. I mean, how many of you like your tax collector? they were not liked at the time. But Jesus said, "Hey, I want you to be in with me." And he also had a zealot, pretty much a political terrorist at the time. This person really trying to push back against the government, the established government at the time. And Jesus was like, "Hey, you know what? I want you in my group too." So we see Jesus has a diverse amount of type of people as his disciples. And look at the way he treats everyone. Just with the love and the care. We see that the people gathered, a multitude were there, and he healed them all. It wasn't like he said, "Okay, you over there, you got it together, so, you know, I'll take care of you, I guess." It was everyone that came to him was healed. And that gets me excited. Because that means me, someone that does not have it all together, is completely welcome to be a part of Jesus' life and his kingdom. We look at another example is the woman at the well. You might remember this story. Jesus, he's on a trip, and he goes through Samaria. And these were, again, people that were not liked by the rest of the Jews. They were looked down upon. And he meets a woman at the well. And she is someone that has not done all the right things. She's an adulteress, someone that's lived quite a life. And Jesus looks at her and says, "You want living water? just come to me. And it's good news, right? In chapter 4, it said Jesus came to preach good news to the poor. And this is the good news, that everyone is welcome. Verse 21, blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Again, something that's kind of counterintuitive. When I'm hungry, I usually think that's a bad thing. I usually go and try and satisfy myself, go get something to eat. The people at this time would know what it means to be hungry, because very agrarian culture, if it doesn't rain, if the crops don't grow, there is not too much food to go around. So a lot of these people, they'd also traveled from long distance. So everyone there is probably, they might be feeling a little bit hungry. And he said, all of you that are hungry, be happy. Be happy, because you will be satisfied. You know, there's better bread than food for the stomach. In another place it says, Jesus is the bread of life. He is our sustenance. He is the person and that which really fuels our life. And this also reminds me of a place in Psalms where all over Psalms, King David, the man that was said to be after God's own heart, it wasn't because he did all the right things. I mean, look at his life. He ends up committing adultery with Bathsheba, and then he goes and pretty much murders her husband. So to cover it all up, he tells lies. So it's not that David has everything together. That doesn't make him a man after God's own heart. What makes him a man after God's own heart is he recognizes his need for God. There's one psalm that says, my soul pants after you, God, as a deer pants after water. Psalm 40, verse 17 says, as for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought of me. The position of his heart is one where he recognizes how much he needs God, that it is God that satisfies his hunger, that it is God who is his provider. About actually a year ago this time, I had a kind of a life-changing experience with my roommate. I was sitting down talking to him. A little background, a little context. I've grown up in the church, and so most of my life I'd say I knew God. I've known about God. I've known who God is, but it's been a long journey for me to take what I know about God to be true and have that filtered down into my heart and to actually embrace it as true. It was very easy for me to walk around and think that I had it all together, because I had completed the checklist, you know? I read my Bible every day. My parents, my mom, bless her, she made me memorize tons of scripture when I was younger. So we had this little system of if I memorize scripture, and then at the end of the year, we would do a night of reciting scripture, my sister and I, and for each verse we were able to recite, we were given 25 cents for Christian bookstores. So I had earned my right with all the scriptures that I had memorized. I looked around me and saw myself a lot more put together than everyone else. And last year, around this time, my roommate, we were talking, and he got still for a moment and said, "Jonathan David Kilmer." I was like, "Whoa, okay." That's not, people usually don't say my full name like that. He said, "I think God wants to tell you something." And I usually listen to this friend. He's a trusted friend, someone that I know can hear from God. And so I was like, "Okay, I'll listen." And he said, "JD, stop walking around thinking that you are so much better than everyone else. You are just as messed up and screwed up as everyone around you."
Amen.
Whoa. And there's something in that that just cut me to the core. Because I realized how much of my life, even though I said, "Jesus, you're my Savior," how much of my life was me saving myself? How much of my life was not dependent on His grace, but on how well I did things? And so I came to a point where I realized how much I actually need Jesus. And this is the principle of the kingdom that Jesus is talking about here. Saying, all you who are poor, all you who are hungry, be happy, because you are in a position, you're in the right orientation to receive from God. You're in the right, your heart is in the right place to approach God. The bar set low. Come into my kingdom. Anyone's welcome. And the next verse, he says, "Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Weeping, at least in my experience, I've never really encountered people that weep a lot, maybe cry a little bit, but a full-on just downpour of sorrow and grief is what this is talking about. Someone that is completely forlorn and destitute. And other places this is talked about in the Old Testament is the idea of weeping and repentance. That those who have a heart of repentance, that are mourning over their sin, that recognize how desperate they are for God, it is those that will laugh, that will rejoice. So, for me, I want to live a life that is continually in a posture of recognizing my need for God. Every day when I wake up, or at least almost every day, I try to remind myself of that. That the air that I breathe is provided by God. That the food that I have is given to me from Him. That I would cease to exist if God stopped thinking about me. I only exist because God has His mind. God is sustaining my existence. Right? If God stopped thinking about us, if God, decided just to ignore the fact that we exist, we just wouldn't be, right? Our existence is wrapped up in Him. as well as our physical existence. And then I also, in the morning, try to remind myself of my spiritual existence being rooted in Him. And all that I am, any good that is in me, any love, any joy, any peace, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, that's not fruit of my own effort, the fruit of the things I've done. It's the fruit of the Spirit that resides within me. And it is completely because of Jesus and what He has done that I can be anything. That I can love, that I can be kind. And so I want to live my everyday oriented, postured in such a way that I need God. So I'd just like to invite all of you guys into that same sort of lifestyle. This is what Jesus, when he first addressed to his disciples, saying, "This is the principle of the kingdom of God. Anybody's welcome. The bar is really low. You don't have to have it all together." And it's those that have a heart realizing how much they need God, that I will come and I will satisfy them. You will be rich in God's kingdom. You will laugh because you live just with the right position. It's a life with your hands open, realizing how much you need God. So I just invite you to stand as we close. And let's just pray. God, we thank you that you are close to the broken, that you're close to those in need, that you are our provider. Lord, thank you that you sustain, and it's by your grace that we are who we are. Thank you that we're your children. Thank you for the great love that you've showed us, that you would call us children of God. So I pray that you'd continue just to let this, your word, sink deep to the core of who we are, and that it would transform us, that we would begin to see things the way you see them, and that we would that we'd begin to let it transform us so that we can then act as you act. Amen.